afternoon and welcome to the St. Pete Sports Connection on this Valentine's Day weekend, Saturday, February 13th, 2021. That's a reminder for all of you fellas out there on the biggest conspiracy against the male species. Valentine's Day, to rush out to your Walgreens, grab some of those cheap flowers, and save your relationship. We're in the heart of the home of the world champion, Tampa Bay Bucks. The Greater Tampa Bay post-celebration has lasted all week down here at Ferg's, and it was an absolute blast last week. We got a jam-packed show. I'm Mike Rickard with the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're your portal to positivity and sports, music, and laughter every Saturday down here at Ferg's world-famous sports bar and grill, and I'm very fortunate. Jam-packed show today, but I conned you.
Yeah, you did.
Dave McCarthy into coming and joining me. Of course, he's the executive director of Ted Williams Foundation. He's been on the show several times and helped carry me, but a little soggy out, so we moved inside. I like this location.
This is great. It's a good day to come down to Ferg's, grab a little lunch.
College basketball is on.
Yeah.
It's that time of year I'm not a real big fan of.
Same here. I do like the college basketball. I'm a college basketball guy, but I'm ready for baseball. Let's go.
Well, that's why I asked you to come on board. Why don't you give our audience a little, of course, we're right across from Tropicana Field, and Dave's the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, immersed in baseball for, a couple decades now?
Yeah, and that's actually, they're probably wondering, well, what's the foundation got to do? It's the Ted Williams Hitters Hall of Fame. It's the original Ted Williams Museum.
Oh, is that what it was?
Which is located inside there, and it's free to the public. But we've branched out to a foundation because we work with several teams now, raising money for local charities, and been doing so for about the last 18 years.
Not only football, baseball, but football as well.
We do, and even though I'm a huge Tom Brady fan, I'm pretty excited because we're set up in Jacksonville, and it looks like that number one draft pick is going to be one heck of a quarterback. So,
well, he's not going to have that Hawkeye strength and conditioning coach, Chris Doyle. Did you see that news?
Yes, I did, but I don't. This kid is kind of like a Tom Brady. I think they come along once in a blue moon, and. It's going to be fun to watch. I think the fans up there will have a little something. But also, Buccaneer fans have got to be thrilled. I mean, they got a great team. Looks like they're going to have a great team next year.
Hey, I got to ask you. You and I are a little rough around the edges, to put it lightly. Did you see Bruce Arians in his post-party comments after the parade, after the boat parade?
I saw him, I'm only a year younger than him, so I don't know how the guy keeps his energy.
Hey, well, first of all, Arians and everybody there, I don't think they realized that Spectrum Channel 9 was filming it, and he's dropping F-bombs, and Channel 9 is trying to go to their six-second delay. They didn't have a clue that Arians was hammered. So was Brady. Did you see Brady? He kind of stumbled, fumbled, and bumbled away from the boat.
You know what? Everybody deserves
the
hair down.
I loved it.
Yep, I did too. I mean, you know what? It's
they deserve it.
I agree. I just wish the sports media, here's a little word to everybody that covers sports out there, with the exception of Mark Tompkin, who, by the way, has never aggravated me. Mark's a great sports guy.
Drake University.
But the rest of them across the country, I mean, they're already talking about next year. Can we get baseball going first? Can we get hockey can we get into the playoffs? It's almost like as soon as the day after, all of a sudden, we're on to next Christmas. And I'm like, can we enjoy life a little bit and savor this victory for the Tampa Bay fans?
I'm glad you brought that up because I was reading the Post this morning. And, of course, it's Vegas, and gambling's immersed in pro sports now. But all they're talking about is the odds for next year.
Right.
Kansas City Chiefs and the Packers, Bucks in third. But you can bet all year long on the odds as they fluctuate based on draft and trades.
You can waste your life away, too. I mean, every day I get something like just the upcoming draft here next month. I get these things. Well, here's our draft order. Every one of these orders changes not only every day, but every time I look at it, when you get to draft day, none of them are correct. So I'm like, why can't we just wait till the draft gets here, see who we get, and then talk about it?
Dave, we have lives, you and I. Or at least I tried to act like I do, but I certainly – there's people that live and die by those projections.
It's crazy.
Fantasy football guys. Now let's talk on a personal note. You just showed me some pictures. Your son Josh, who's a sheriff over in the Tampa area. He was a security.
Yeah, he's with the Hillsborough County Sheriffs, and they were he was assigned to the Super Bowl. And he's kind of excited because he grew up in New England, and so he's been watching Brady for 20 years. And to be able to not only be assigned there but get to see him up close, they had a few days where they did security for the Super Bowl trophy, and he's got photos with that. You know what? It's a little different for him only because he grew up with me. So he's grown up with Ted Williams. He's grown up. When he was in college, he was a kicker. And, of course, Adam Vinatieri gave him personal lessons, you know, because Adam used to travel with us with Ted and the Red Sox people back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So
great guy, isn't he?
Josh appreciates it. He's grown up, though, with a lot of VIPs, so he knows how to act in front of them. But he, without question, told me in his life, Tom Brady is the one guy that he looks up to and admires the most. And so to be part of that he was excited to work with his brother and sister deputies and be part of that.
Now, you said he was in the VIP section and he ran into another deputy?
He ran into another deputy, a very large African-American man by the name of Shaq, who won a few NBA trophies. And Shaq is a deputy himself.
Wasn't his father a deputy? I think that's the story in Louisiana. I'm not sure.
Well, when I read Shaq many years ago, Shaq said he always wanted to be in law enforcement if he wasn't playing basketball. And so he's always been very supportive, and he's always been great in the community with kids and trying to, work on helping out the community and having a liaison with law enforcement. But he is also a deputy. I thought it was Orange County. I may be wrong.
In Orlando?
I'm not sure. I think so.
I think it is.
But Josh told me he was standing there, and he said all of a sudden Shaq came right up to him and fist-pumped him and said, "Stay safe, brother." That made my son's day. So,
I'm sure it did.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to meet at all these events. I'm just happy for Tampa. It's so nice to see this event. It's so nice to see people in the stands again. I know it's been a dangerous time, but we've got to open up this thing. We've got to get sports going again. We've got to get everything, education, all of it. I think the rest of the country can take a note on Florida. We're trying to be careful, but let's get this business opened up before we financially put ourselves in a no-return zone.
You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on RadioSt.Pete.com, if I could speak this morning. I'm not used to this. I feel like I'm in a different location now, trying to adapt, even though we're about 10 feet from where we normally are posted. And I'm talking to Dave McCarthy. He's the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation. You talked about let's get things going. Let's talk a little, of course, the pitchers and catchers go to camp this week, and you're immersed in spring training each and every year. What, 8 parks are you in?
We're in 7 parks. I'd like to tell you everybody's the same, but they're not. This is the first time in 20 years I'm not doing any work with the Red Sox this spring, and the reason for it is they have decided, and I respect their wishes, they don't want any vendors, or it's going to be very low-key in JetBlue, in their spring training location. Twins are a little different.
That's in Fort Myers, right?
That's in Fort Myers. The Twins want us in there right now, I guess, in a smaller capacity. I've talked to the Orioles up in Sarasota. They're not having any outside groups coming in this year.
None at all?
No, that's what I'm told. Now, It changes by the week. I mean, MLB up in New York dictates a lot of this, but they're all different, you know.
Did you say MLB up in the Arctic?
Well, here's the thing. I don't understand. I don't want to get into politics, nor do I totally understand it. But you can't be in New York City and think that the rest of the country is going through exactly what New York's through. Everybody's different. So, you look at an outdoor stadium, I think it's a little bit different than an indoor stadium.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
And, it's so crazy. Apparently, the Raptors are going to spend the entire season here in Tampa, which is good for us, bad for the Canadian people. Apparently, they're not letting any sports go. So my question is, and I don't know the answer, if the Raptors are here all year, does that mean Dunedin's going to host the Blue Jays all year?
That would be pretty cool. And they got a new park.
I'd go over there in a heartbeat to see a few games. I mean, you'd have someone of the. I mean, they got an exciting young team. It'd be fun to see them and the Rays playing each other locally here, I think.
Well, 2018, before they got the new park, you met my girlfriend when she was down here. She owned a home a block and a half from there.
Right.
So the enterprising needed some cash man that I am. I parked cars there and had a blast up there in Dunedin. Nailed that park. We went up and took a look at it. She lived there 20 years. She watched, you know, the migration of Canadians and the Blue Jays. And what a wonderful park. Have you been in the new one?
I haven't been physically. I've looked through. I haven't been in physically inside. But I used to go up there and do a few events at the old one. So seeing what a great job they did with the new one, I'm kind of excited to see it, up close and personal. I think it's going to be great for the fans. I just want to get this season going. The Rays had such a great year last year. Fans are excited. Let's start getting baseball going.
In some capacity. And as you said, and I'm from Iowa. You're nauseated here every time we have a conversation. Our governor up there did the same thing. Kept things open for the most part.
Right.
And got vilified by people. But my son came down, and I talked to my brothers and sisters up there, and it's not as gloom and doom as it is in these major markets, these major states.
I agree. Florida, other than the fact seeing it on the news, I mean, I go out to restaurants. Yes, we should be careful. Don't get me wrong. Some people have lost loved ones. We got to be sensitive to that, and we got to be careful. But we're all adults. You know, I'm in the group that's in the danger zone. I have a low immune system. But I'm a big boy. If I want to put on a mask
and
I want to go sit at the ball game, I want the right to do that. And at the same time, what's the difference if I'm at public shopping and I got 200 people standing all around me? I mean, yes, we need to be careful, but we need to get this economy open.
It's amazing you and I are on the same planet, so many things. We just met a year ago. Actually, we're coming up on our one-year anniversary of my calling and just getting lucky that you answered the phone. I was just looking at a ad talking about your 50-50 and maybe needing people over to raise, and you answered the phone, which is unusual in that number, isn't it?
It is. Part of it is my curse in life.
You've been cursed.
They put my personal cell phone on the website.
Is that what?
Oh, my God. I get calls at 10 o'clock at night. Are you open? And I'm like, I'm not running a bar. No, we're not open. And one guy wanted to come take a tour today. I said, we haven't been open since last March. All Major League ballparks are closed right now, but thanks for reading the fine print.
Welcome to the world. Where have you been sleeping?
I'm huge on customer service, but some days I'm like, I'm ready to strangle somebody.
Hey, I got to go back to your son's experience at the Super Bowl. What was his perception of the streaker?
He wasn't. It's funny. The guy that tackled him, they took a side shot of him, and I would have sworn in a court of law it was my son. It looks just like him. Not from straight on, but on the side.
I thought you said he's a kicker. He had good form tackle?
No, the gentleman that did tackle him was an ex. They did a huge story on him in the paper yesterday. He played high school football, and he's a good rugged deputy. Good from what I can
nice
see.
Nice dick.
Yep, it was good. Good hit. Being an ex-trooper myself from up north, I was a little disappointed the deputy beat him to the tackle instead of the Florida Trooper.
You guys are competitive, man.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this. I believe there was a Florida Trooper back 8-10 years ago that made a tackle. It was either an NFL playoff game or it was the other. It was the championship game down here. And he not only made the tackle, he wound up doing autograph shows with one of the Bucks because it was like a famous pitcher. I mean, he clocked this guy in the end zone and was pretty good. Now, I'm going to tell you my age, and you're going to remember this. The greatest hit on a fan running on the field was Mike Curtis.
I was just going to bring this up.
With the Baltimore Colts. He almost killed this guy.
That was by far.
But don't get me wrong.
Google it if you're listening.
Right, and they'll show you the videos on YouTube. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this right now, and if people don't want to hear me anymore, that's fine. I wish he had taken his hat off. I mean, this guy was just a jerk running on the field, and this guy hit him like this. I mean, how he didn't kill him, I don't know. Today, there'd be a lawsuit up the kazoo. But back then, ask no quarter and give none. And that guy, I guarantee you, never ran on a field again.
As I said, you're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. That's Dave McCarthy. I'm Mike Rickard. They've got an Iowa homecoming here, buddy. These people behind me.
Yeah.
They're from the great state of Iowa that you get tired of hearing of, so we're having a little.
So there's three of them, so that means half the state is here, right?
Did you hear? He's humiliating us. There's three of you, and he said there's half the state here.
Half the state of Iowa's here, right.
Yeah. Come on, man. You're from New Hampshire.
And they're city people, right?
Des Moines.
That big city of Des Moines.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yep. God's country. 9 below right now.
Yep.
godforsaken right now.
When you have a city like Des Moines, and I've been there, and they have glass walkways between buildings, that tells you something about the weather.
We're not ignorant. It's called the Skyway. We stole it from Minneapolis. All right, let's talk a little bit more baseball, then I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right, so in the event... When are the first games?
Well, February 27th. And my understanding, and here again, this is just a couple of teams I spoke to. I talked to the Tigers a few days ago. They're talking about some of these games are only going to be five innings. And then there might be something else, you know, going on. This is the start. Now,
what the hell is that?
It's all changing. I mean,
is the COVID exposure going to go up after five innings?
No, to be honest with you, I can't answer your question because it keeps changing. But the bottom line is they want to get it done. It's not so much they want to get it done and get the players ready so they can start the regular season, and with fans in the stands, thank God. And hopefully, as this vaccine gets out, I'm hoping it gets better and better. But we'll just have to see. It's a changing landscape. I mean, I truly don't know the answer to your question. It changes week to week.
All right. Well, keep me posted. We'll be in contact. And then I tell you what. I'm going to miss that Gronkowski jersey. Evans, that was great backdrop for my social media. I had Gronk behind me, Evans, Sapp, Doug Williams. That was fabulous. And then, of course, I had the helmet, which we got rid of last week, with Mike Allstott.
Well, the problem with memorabilia is when you and I grew up, it was a nice backdrop. It's worth so much money now.
You
got to sell it.
I'm watching it. I should have had it. Well, I did have an arm guard pretty much here on Super Bowl Sunday, but I left that at home.
Yeah.
But that was kind of fun. I'm looking forward to hopefully we get into the parks this year.
I think so. No. Here again, everything changes. But I know the Rays are planning to start off, I think, with about 7,500 people, last I knew. So they're working hard. Nobody wants people in the parks more than the ball clubs. The teams, I mean, that's their revenue. And so I think they're working hard to get that. The problem you have is government regulations. You have MLB in New York, and these are all entities that put pressure on them. So I'm sure as we get into spring, it's going to get better and better. But, boy, it just feels like it's been going on for 10 years, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, I'm looking forward to it, Dave McCarthy. I'm going to bring over Jay Murphy. And
you guys going to talk about cattle prices or corn, or what are you going to talk about?
Listen, pal, we're going to talk the business of sport. You'd love that. He owned a bar that I was a regular at. I don't like to admit anymore now that I don't imbibe, but I was a good solid piece of income. Murphy's taking off. He's bailing. He don't like hanging out with Iowa people.
I do like that Iowa football team, though. I love your uniforms too.
You're not a Steelers fan. Fans love them too. They stole them from us.
I'm not a Steelers fan, but I love the colors of the Steelers. I love the Steelers uniform, and I love the Iowa uniform. So, here we go. You're all set.
Thanks, David. That's Dave McCarthy. He's the executive director of the Ted Williams Foundation, and he's kind enough to join me. Share some stories about the Super Bowl. His son Murph was one of the deputies over there.
Oh, really?
And he's the former captain of the New Hampshire State Police.
Oh, wow!
And he's the head of the Ted Williams Foundation. But his son was the one in charge of keeping an eye on the Lombardi Trophy. I said, well, he should have rode with Brady during the boat parade, so he wasn't launching it to the other boat. Wasn't that classic?
That was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So this is Jay Murphy, and I've known you since about I moved to Des Moines in 1993. I discovered your den of inequity about that time, and logged a lot of hours there, my friend. Do you miss those days?
No. I remember them, most of them.
Hey, let's dedicate this next half-hour conversation to our great friend Sheppy.
Love Shep. He passed a year ago, Groundhog Day.
It was Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it was a Groundhog Day. It was a lot of reflection to a great and funny man, there's no doubt.
Well, that cat was, remember, well, you're too young. Jackie Gleason used to have a show, and he'd have Crazy Guggenheim come in, and Jackie was the bartender, and he was superb. And that's what Sheppy reminded me the first time I walked into your joint, and then I'd go into the Waveland. There's old Sheppy. He knew everybody's name. You know, he always had health issues, but he never complained about them. He was just a positive guy and diehard Cubs fan.
As my buddy Gator over there said, always said, I always had to come in every day for a dose of Sheppy. Everybody needs a dose of Sheppy.
It was uplifting talking to Sheppy, that's for sure.
Well, no doubt. He was a man. He was a man's man. A lot of Cub trips, a lot of Wrigley trips, a lot of Bear games with the Sheppmeister. We were actually, before he passed, I was flying up. Ironically, we were going to go to a Ham's beer can show in Minnesota to look at Ham's beer signs and memorabilia.
Hey, those babies are worth some bank now, man.
Oh, I know it. I know it.
Only Sheppy could get you to go to something like that when you live down here in the great state of Florida.
Yep.
When did you move down here?
I originally moved down here in 84, and then my company brought me back up in St. Louis. Well, I mean, that's far enough. I might as well go back up in Des Moines by a bar. And that was about 89, and then I moved back down here in, gosh, I would say 2004.
Yeah, I remember that. You were trying to convince everybody to move down here.
Yeah.
For the opportunities, and
great.
I'm glad I did.
All right, man.
Let's talk the business of sport. That's what I wanted to visit with you about. I want you to share your story of your armor all career and how fortunate you got into something that most people just snubbed their nose at because they thought Nike dominated the market.
Yeah. it's Under Armour, but not Armor All. But that's
Under Armour.
That's the car stuff.
Thanks. Yeah.
Shines the car up a little bit. But no.
I got ADD, age deficit disorder, dude.
You got a lot of initials. But they.
SOB. ADD times two, attention deficit disorder, and the age. That's a double whammy, buddy. Turned me into an SOB.
That's awesome. No, I've been in sporting since the early 80s and worked for a lot of companies. And then, around 99, had the opportunity to work with Under Armour. And, I mean, it was back then I was interviewing with the owners. And I said, great, well, what states do you have? And I named about nine states. I think I couldn't think of any more states. That's what I said. And then I talked to him. And I said, well, how many accounts would I be calling? He goes, well, there's one. It was a department store. Went out of business like 2 weeks later. So
so you had to go open and beat the streets.
It was wide open and getting to the coaches and getting everything and grassrooting and spreading the world. Now, that was just in my territory. Under Armour obviously built the way with their – internal marketing and stuff. It was a very good ride. I was there over 8 years and then been around the sporting good business. Been working with Adidas Wrestling for over 25 years now.
The great state of Iowa, number one in wrestling for all of you Floridians or anybody from Pennsylvania. We do dominate.
This year. We've had a lot of Penn State agonies.
Yeah. Thanks to stealing our Kale Sanderson from Iowa State.
I've been to Nationals for 25 years, and
have you?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go to this one too, even though it's
where's it at?
It's in St. Louis this year.
Is it?
And it's they're bringing it down to just a friends and family, so they're not going to have very many people. It sounds like.
Well, you're going to be a friend of somebody's.
Sure, try to be.
Because your son's not a wrestler. We'll talk about him in a little bit.
Yeah, sure, try to be.
Hey, tell the I love that Under Armour, not Armour, Under Armour story.
Right.
About the guy, was he a trainer at Maryland?
No. He was a guy named Kevin Plank. He was actually football. He played football. He was special teams. He was actually captain of the special teams.
Was that at Maryland, though? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't completely off.
No, he's a Terp. And, you know, and this is just was my story that I used to tell for many years. He was very fair-skinned. His skin would rash up in that sweaty T-shirt. You know, he'd have to wring his shirt out and have to be a better way. And he noticed the compression on pants that you stay dry. So he went to a franchise fabric store, and they actually designed a shirt for him. And he stayed dry. And then they actually turned and got a couple of colleges looking at it. And, you know, it's really snowballed since then.
Snowballed? I mean, unbelievable.
Oh, I know. It's
hold that mic a little closer to your mouth. I got my guy, Joe Berdo, because I know you can ramble with the best of them.
Right on.
Hey, I remember it was Hopkins Sporting Goods, Mike McClinock?
Hopkins Sporting Goods, yes.
I had a trade with him with the Iowa Sports Connection, and he pawned off some Under Armour on me because it was always for my boys.
Right.
And I remember giving it to him at Christmas, and they opened it up.
Right.
This is early when you first got going.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked at it like, thanks, Pops, for nothing. Where'd you get this out? You know, Walmart? Fast forward like 2 years later, couldn't get him enough Under Armour. Thielen ended up going to Under Armour. I mean,
right.
couldn't get enough Under Armour. That was hilarious, the perception of it initially.
We sponsored a softball team back in the day, and it was Under Armour, and they all got Under Armour stuff. And I looked the next day, and they all cut their sleeves of the $50 shirt. And I wanted to kill them.
What are you doing, dude? Oh,
crazy.
All right, so you moved down here. I know you've dabbled. You know, you're an entrepreneur. You dabbled in quite a few things. When did you get out of the Under Armour? Well, you brought a helmet to my studio one time.
I did, didn't I?
What was that? It was cool. It was a great prop for my television show.
How many years ago was it?
Probably 2009, 2010.
It would have been a company called Zenith.
Exactly.
Yeah, a company called Zenith. Worked there for several years. And really getting the word out on the helmet. It's still going. It's still a great helmet. There hasn't been too many changes in the helmet business, but that's still strong.
But that was groundbreaking as far as the safety measures. I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, they had different ways of compression, of dispersion with the helmet. Got to think back in my day. But, you know, they had everything the same in the plastic, but the actual the concept came from a nasal spray bottle, and where you'd squeeze it and it would come back and take its shape. And he made little balls, little round balls like that in the helmet, and it's still very successful to this day.
All right, and then you moved down here.
Yep.
And your family and your son is in sports. Talk about having that Iowa mentality of competing and being involved in Iowa high school sports at every level over the years, and then coming down here and getting a little eye-opener of the incredible amount of talent, and your son has kept up with them. Was he born down here or was he born in Iowa?
No, he was born in Iowa, actually.
Good. See, that's an Iowa boy coming down here and competing.
Right on. Yep. We came down here, same thing. They didn't have a lot of leadership and things, but I actually was the commissioner of Lakewood Ranch as far as football, which down here it goes all the way to eighth grade. They don't have junior high sports down here.
They don't?
No,
they have middle schools, but they don't have junior high sports.
No. So your coaching has to go all the way up through eighth grade. So we worked hard. I was the commissioner of that league. We brought in NFL players, ex-NFL players come in and coach and really develop these kids. And they needed
so you were the IMG of middle school.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's funny. Our head coach of that time is actually at IMG now. Working there, coaching. So, yeah, and the talent's here, you know, the leadership's here. And TJ, my son, he's a big kid. He must have drank a lot of that Iowa milk.
Yeah, and Iowa beef.
Yeah, right? He's a big 6'5 kid. He's 270.
Where did he play high school ball at?
He played basketball, or high school football, Cardinal Mooney.
Catholic school?
Catholic school in Sarasota.
Great move. Being a Catholic. Healing guy.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
So a multi-sport athlete, or did he just focus on football?
He boxed.
Did he really?
Yeah, he boxed.
You remember I was involved. I was in the Iowa Golden Gloves. And I was heavily involved with USA Boxing in the state of Iowa. He boxed?
Yeah.
You got to bring that kid up. I love him.
He's a big boy, I'll tell you what. He's a big boy. And then
did he participate in the Golden Gloves down here?
No. This was just for his footwork and working with a trainer.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great workouts, by the way.
Yeah, and Cardinal Mooney did not have a wrestling program, so, you know, he couldn't wrestle. And that's what he wanted to do, but, you know, boxing is the next best thing.
Where did you find that there's a great boxing club right up here in 49th where some pro boxers have come through. Where did you find a boxing club down there?
Down there, Jocko's. It's a big boxing. He was a professional boxer, and it's a great program down in the Sarasota, Bradenton area.
We're talking the St. Pete Sports Connection, an old friend of mine who, 1993, I think, what's that say?
That's my company, Battleskin.
That's what I was going to ask you about, because you sent me some information on that. Jay Murphy's his name. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. This place will be a little quieter than it has been for the last 3 months, obviously. But tonight we got UFC and then college basketball. It doesn't matter what your team is. We've got 85 televisions down here. Come down, the manager, Jake, Mark, anybody will turn your channel over so you can watch your respective teams. Hawks are on at 2:30 here, and I'll be perched in front of one of these. Actually, I usually hog them, Murph. I tell them to switch over two televisions.
Right.
Or during when Iowa State was having a nice run, I'd sit here after my show, and I'd have Iowa and Iowa State. People would be walking by me pissed off, and I'd be like, well, perks.
Right.
To watch my Clones and my Hawks.
The Clones are playing Kansas today. That might be ugly.
What's happening with the Clones this year in basketball?
Yeah, they're not. You know what? You know, Hoiberg's at Nebraska, which just kills me.
I know. It kills me, you know, yeah. And I had Freddie on my show. I'm like, golfed him several times. Great guy.
Right.
His parents went to Nebraska. And you figure with Scott Frost and Freddie Hoiberg, I can't believe we're talking Nebraska, two great guys that both programs are struggling.
It's kind of funny. A really good friend of mine comes down here a lot. Mark Hankins is their golf coach.
I know Hankins real well. I knew him through my golf show on the tee with Judd Gibb and those boys.
Whenever he's down, he's out with me down here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You got to bring him down sometime.
Oh, New York second. He'll come down. But, he's in Nebraska now, too. You know, crazy.
Hankins went to Nebraska?
He's head coach in Nebraska now.
Wasn't he at Michigan State?
He was at Michigan State 7 years, then he was at Iowa.
He was Iowa.
Then he was the assistant AD at Iowa. And then I could see him, you know, he's big time now. I can see him grow bigger. You know, he's young, good-looking kid.
Intelligent guy.
Smart guy. Absolutely.
Great guy. Hankins is at Nebraska.
Yeah, he's there.
Wow. Well, and the Hawks, you know, people are complaining. Hawkeye faithful, of course. Nobody's ever happy. I saw something today on Fran McCaffrey. They wanted to run him off, but then they showed a picture of, was it Todd? Todd Light, was that his name? The coach had a horrible record after Alford.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, they said, would you like to go back to those days? No.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about your new venture. Is that in the sports world as well?
Yeah, about 5 years ago, myself, a wrestling coach, collegiate wrestling coach, and an MMA boxer. He did not box. He's MMA, and he wrestled.
Beat the hell out of people.
I was going to say wrestler.
It's not the sweet science that your son learned.
No, Dan Henderson, Hendo. We partnered up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And we formed this company, and it's started off action for the athletes. So we treat and prevent, you know, the ringworm of the world, the MRSA of the world, you know, all the stuff focused in that type of contact sport. And then we've progressed into PPE world and everything going on with this world right now. So we cater a lot of different vertical markets. Our focus is still on the kid. Treat and protect him from getting all those nasty things. And now, obviously, with the COVID, we do that.
You're booming.
Crazy.
Murphy, you just have that Irishman's touch to find something at the right time. I mean, the Under Armour was that way.
That was fun, absolutely.
The timing of this couldn't be better.
No, it went, we're doing really well helping the people, helping the kids. I mean, you name it, PPA world.
You sound like a politician now.
Yeah, I know.
But we're helping everybody, helping the kids.
Yeah. Well, good news is I brought you a present. This is an antimicrobial backpack, and inside is our system, our spray, wipe, wash system. So you can enjoy it and spray and wipe and wash.
Well, are you saying that I'm an unclean person? Yeah. I got a couple gifts for you and Gator. Gator, why don't you get over here? We're going to talk Iowa sports, some of our greatest memories. And so you got to share the mic with him, but you can throw those headphones on. And you went to Urbandale, didn't you?
So, yeah. Gator did, too.
You're both Jayhawks.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, my ex was a Jayhawk. I mean, and we're still really close. But I got two buddies down here. This kid, I don't know if you guys will remember that, the family, Jamal Thompson, their family, African-American, moved down here. And he's a good friend of Ferg's, a great cat, so... And he wrestled for Urbandale.
Wow.
Now, Jamal Thompson's his name. But anyway, he's probably 40-ish. You know, he's a pup. But anyway, when I first met him, he said from Urbandale, I said, Jayhawk. He goes, well, how the hell did you know that? I said, listen, dude, I lived in Windsor Heights. I was surrounded, and I went to every bar that the Urbandale faithful lived in. Your joint, what was the other one? The world famous that Cliff owned. What was it called? Everybody went to that bar.
Murphy's Law, Plaza Pub.
No, it's been there for 100 years.
Murphy's Beverage Company, Plaza Pub.
Waveland.
Not the Plaza Pub. I'm talking about another one that I hung out in.
Stormy's, Waveland.
Stormy's.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Stormy's. You could always find about a dozen Urbandale graduates in there.
At least.
At least. All right, fellas. Now, you still live in Des Moines, Gator?
I actually live west of Des Moines on Lake Panorama.
Oh, I love Lake Panorama. I like that track. I golfed on it quite a bit. So, being down here, Murph, I don't care what you'll be upset. I pull for every Big Ten team. You know why? They think they invented football in Florida, don't they? Ferg's a graduate of Florida State. I love it. They're just getting killed. We're a basketball program now. Yeah, sure you are, thanks to Leonard Hamilton. Yeah. I said, but the bottom line is you were the powerhouse of football. Miami thinks they are. It nauseates me. So if I see Ohio State, and I can't, during the Big Ten season, I can't stand anybody but us. But I pull constantly for anybody in the Big Ten.
I lived in Tallahassee for 3 years.
You did?
In the late 80s, Yeah, and I was right there in the middle.
That was fun.
Yeah, with Miami coming up, and oh, my God, it was a war. It was definitely a war. And I was in sporting goods there, and they think they know football. You're right. They think it was invented here.
Oh, I know. I said, take a look at the Big Ten and the history, you clowns. Anyway, let's have a little fun. What's your favorite memory? We'll just stick with football. Iowa football growing up.
Growing up?
And then we'll go modern era if you can remember.
I would say in the mid-70s, beat the Bear when Bob Cummings predicted UCLA.
Jeez, I'm 64. You're not even 60 yet. You're going way back, dude.
Yeah, Cummings predicted a UCLA win.
I'm not Jim Zobel here.
Bet a UCLA win, and that was when Iowa beat them. Bob bet against their team. Oh, my head coach. That was a great memory.
What were you, in second grade?
Oh, no. I was junior high probably.
Oh, my word. So that's your old school memory. That was lame. And current time, let's say in the last 10 years, from 2000 on.
Oh, 2000 on. You're not going to let me talk about the Michigan-Iowa game.
Oh, 1985?
Yeah, when Hart
I was in Denver watching. That was, yeah, go ahead.
I was actually living in Atlanta, Georgia, and I went back up for the game. And we tore the goalpost down and everything. It was fantastic.
You did go up to Michigan for the game?
It was in Iowa.
It was in Iowa, wasn't it?
Yeah, the game was
I was in
Iowa.
Denver with about 20 Hawks in a sports bar, and we went absolutely crazy because of the same contingency of Michigan grateful were there, too. So it was an absolute fabulous day.
My favorite recent would be when we went up to Minnesota and we had Friday night wrestling and the Hawkeyes beat the Gophers. And then the next day, we kicked the heck out of the guys in the dome. And after the game, the Hawkeyes rushed on the field and tore down their goalpost.
I remember that.
That was pretty good. I was there.
No wonder that I had a Gopher on yesterday that played for the – yesterday, last Saturday, that played for the Bucks. And he also played for the Gophers, but he played 99-2000, so I was getting ready to throw that in his face, and they pounded us those 2 years. So I had nothing. All right, let's turn it over to Gator, Steve Gates. Your favorite old-school memory and current. And these guys are all proudly wearing Hawkeye gear, thank God. I had to wear the Bucks gear. I'm not on the bandwagon. I'm still a Packer fan. But for financial purposes, I had to wear a little Bucks gear, brother.
So, Rickard, I got to think about this. We're talking about Iowa sports and, like, nothing happened in Tampa the last week, 6 months.
Oh,
I'm good with it. I don't know who's listening to this, but, I'm good with it.
Yeah, everybody turned me off now. But we'll talk about that. We just did talk a little bit about it. I've got a former Buck and Green Bay Packer coming on at 1:30, Barry Smith, who played at Florida State. He's the head of the – if you guys stick around, you mean great guy. He's the head of the Florida – Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, Barry Smith. So, back to you, Gary. He hogged the mic as usual.
I'm going to step away from the game time moments for an old-time favorite Hawkeye. I bet you my favorite Hawkeye moment was when they hired Hayden Fry.
That was a great moment because that program certainly needed an injection of his flamboyancy, recruiting capabilities, obviously knowledge of football. And look at the staff that he surrounded himself with. That, to this day, I think that's probably the greatest assembly of young talent that all blossomed in their own way. And we know all the names. We could go on and on and on. And I'll let Murph do that. You can do that. But that's a great moment.
Yeah, current moment, I would probably have to say Iowa has become tight end U, tight end university, as well as an offensive line powerhouse. But the defensive line in the last few years has really stepped up. Obviously, Anthony Nelson 2 years ago came here and is playing for your own Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Bucks.
Well, and the best rookie offensive tackle in the NFL and now a world champion, Tristan Wirfs. That kid is him not getting the Rookie of the Year was a crime, in my opinion. But that's a Hawkeye of me speaking.
I agree. Both great gentlemen, but great players as well. And I'd encourage anybody, if they want to see how hard Tristan Wirfs or anybody works up at the University of Iowa, go Google Tristan Wirfs in the weight room. You'll be amazed.
You know, I'm a huge fan because of the story with his mother and her commitment to that young man. But I think it was the start of the playoffs. And nobody wants to hear that out of my pie hole. But we had more players in the NFL in the playoffs, the University of Iowa, than any powerhouse, including Alabama, in the playoffs. They don't want to hear it. Now, their defensive backs, their defensive linemen, offensive linemen, and tight end. Who cares? That's a nice recruiting piece when you're out there beating the streets.
You are correct.
For once in my life, Gator, I am correct. Murph, let's talk about your son and his recruiting process, because obviously you're getting to dad. I had it with both my sons, but at a different level, Division II. But it was still a lot of fun and exciting, and I miss it every day. But you're in the big boy league with your son. That's the kind of talent he's exuded.
Yeah, it's a heck of a year, though, I'll tell you.
You can say hell of a year.
Okay.
Nobody's going to buy your product because you swear.
I said earlier no one tapped my shoulder, so I felt I was good. But, it's a year because my son actually was supposed to graduate 2020. He got sick with a stomach virus, missed a whole year of school.
They probably labeled it COVID like everything else.
No. But this is the year before. And then he actually got a fifth year eligibility.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, which never happened.
That's not NCAA. That's high school.
Yeah, it was high school. We went to the...
You got some juice down here, too. You've always been able to develop the Murphy juice, hasn't he?
No, that was a lot.
Fess up, Murph.
A lot of hard work. There's no doubt.
There's nobody in the NCAA listening.
Well, that's funny. But not only that.
There's truth in jest, as they say.
But they that year and then this year, obviously, with the COVID in 21, a lot of hard of exposure. Now, my son talked to the University of Florida and one of the finals to be a Gator. And basically, they turned around and just
– That's great service, Gator.
He was close. And so he's looking at a lot of schools. He's either going to go to a school this year. Got a couple more trips this week, Big 12 – school there, and a school in the SEC, and then
to be named later. Can you mention who you're talking to?
Kansas State, and he was talking weekly to Florida, and then he's looking at potentially, if he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to go this semester at IMG again.
Really?
Yeah, post-grad. They got a great post-grad program, and we've already...
Are we talking high school here?
Yeah, post-grad.
But doesn't it sound like we're talking collegiately? With the transfer portal now and all these graduate students going,
we're actually talking
a high school kid.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to together.
Hold on a couple more years and you can negotiate a price for him to go play for him. That's the way things are going.
Isn't it crazy how it's going? Yeah, no, he's had a good recruiting time. We're up in West Virginia 2 weeks ago.
The Mountaineers. What's that campus like?
Well, we can't. No. We can't. We had to go to West Virginia Westland, which is a great school. He cannot go on campus till April 15th on any of these Division I schools.
Crazy. There's so many loopholes, though, isn't there? Like I said, we went to
West Virginia Wesleyan, which is about
NAIA.
They're a very strong D2 school, which is about 20 miles from West Virginia.
Is that's in the heart of the Smokies, isn't it?
Right in there.
Is it beautiful?
Man. Yeah, it is. It was interesting.
Now, if he went with his gut and what he already wanted to go, is anybody a leader out there? Not what Pops wants, but what he wants.
He would love to be close to home. Somewhere around here, whether it's, you know, one of the Florida's wonderful schools.
Oh, please, no. Well, that's easier for you.
But he, let's just say Iowa State and Iowa do have film on them, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
When you meet Ferg, don't mention that, because he's the Florida. He and his son graduated from Florida State.
Seminole.
And they take the Ferg's buck a bus. Have you been out back yet?
Most Red Sox series I'm here. Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You're a Red Sox fan?
Yes, I am.
You should have sat and Dave had to take off today, but he used to be when he retired from the New Hampshire State Police, he was basically a bodyguard for Ted Williams.
Oh, wow.
That's how this all came to play. And
he still is.
And he moved down here, yeah. And we Boston Red Sox to death, man.
Right.
But what bothers me, I'm a Yankee fan.
I know.
Even though I worked for the Cubs. Yankee fan. Poor Rays fans. When there's a Bucks. Well, I'm just going to Bucks. Thank you, dear. See, that's Iowa service. When there is a Rays game, you've seen it.
Yep.
What do you think the ratio is? 10-1?
Oh, I know.
Red Sox to Rays fans. Gator, it's horrible.
The Yankees are about as bad.
Yankees, Phillies,
yeah.
and Red Sox.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely horrible. You know, one thing I enjoy, though, when I tell people I'm Iowa, and we are pretty immersed with the Rays, is anytime you bring up Jeremy Hendrickson around here, oh, my God. Everybody loved him. And I talked to his dad. His dad said that was his favorite stop.
Oh, yeah. No,
through his career.
I know.
And I remember playing golf at Grandview. That city course. I had that golf show for years, but I'm a horrible hack.
Right.
My son played collegiate golf, so we went over there every day, and we'd play when he was, you know, 10, 11, whatever. And, of course, another trade that I worked. I learned a lot from Murph. I was the king. My kids were like, Pops, you didn't really make that much money, but we lived a life of leisure. I said, you had everything. I didn't have any cash flow, but I had plenty of trade for you guys.
There you go.
So I remember getting up to the tee box, and the starter comes out and says, hey, you mind if this kid plays with you? And he was about 16 then, and I knew about him because of our high school sport.
Right.
So, and I said, yeah, I'm sure. He had he had Hoover Husky bag, and he hit that ball on number one at Grandview. It goes over a hill and down. I mean, I could even hit that green with a good roll. And over the freaking green. And then I said, what's your name, young man? Jeremy Hendrickson. Oh, he made a commitment to LSU then. He was going to go to LSU.
Yeah, he was.
I think he actually went down there and just didn't, you know, college wasn't his deal. But what a great career that young man had.
Yeah, great guy. By the way, his dad still is a Yankee fan.
I know that.
I know.
And his grandfather.
Yeah, no, I know that.
We're friends on Facebook. We go back and forth a lot of time. I tell him to get down here. Jeremy just had the first child. And I tell him to get back down here. People love him. We could have a Jeremy Hendrickson day here at Ferg's, and people would show up just to, you know, for him to sign. But it's a great kid.
They love him. They love him down here. They love him back in Des Moines and Urbandale. His mom's actually went to school at Urbandale.
She's a fun lady.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you meet his mom, and then Jeremy doesn't say two words. You know, you just shake your head. It's kind of a unique dynamic, let's say that.
Well, you want to get closer. Jeremy's wife, Natalie's mom's, they owned the Triangle for a lot of years.
They did?
Yeah.
That's across from the Taco House?
Yeah.
How would I know all these dives in Des Moines?
Yeah, right?
I think, Murph, you told me the names of them in the past.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was.
I remember discovering, this is really sad, the Triangle tap because it was open early. Of course, the Waveland opened pretty early, 9 o'clock, so I could catch... Sheppy and I would catch Andy Mayberry. I think it was Andy Mayberry. Then the Price is Right.
Right at 10, right?
At 10. Talk about a pathetic life. That was 93, 94. And you'd have all these guys in there. Turn it over. Price is Right on. Like, what? And then they had like a drink giveaway of some sort. If you got it right, I'm like, oh, my God. What have I done to myself?
Right. No, yeah, Stormy's has the big wheel. There, and they have their own wheel, and everybody comes in.
The wheel of misfortune.
They get off work just to come for that hour in the morning.
Yeah, the wheel of misfortune.
Or a hard-boiled egg and a Boilermaker.
Nothing like a classic old tavern, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
But great memories, and the ones that I can, that's why I say I have ADD. That's age deficit disorder, because I probably killed 10 years right. during that process. You know, I have a lot of friends in down here that are in the bar business. It's completely different dynamic. I live about 200 paces from the Gulf. There's caddies there, and there's a place called Katiki. Next time you come up, you have to stay the night. I'll get you set up.
I was at caddies yesterday.
On the beach?
Yeah, at a meeting there, yeah.
On the beach?
Yeah.
You could have parked at my place.
Well, I didn't know.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Let me know when you come up from now on. Right across the street, there's a little place called Katiki. And those guys are from Belle Plaine, Iowa.
Oh, wow.
And they own three bars in the area. They still have a business in Belle Plaine. They do business for my brother-in-law in Iowa City.
Great baseball town. They didn't play football when they grew up.
No, they absolutely did not. But, yeah, so those are neighborhood places for me. You know, shot and beer joints don't exist like they did back in the day.
Right.
But the Katiki is, well, they call them saltwater hippies in my neighborhood. You walk out the door and you're like, what's that sweet smell?
It ain't a Charlie boy.
Hey, now you're making me homesick. Sioux City, Iowa, miles in, Charlie boy. Gators probably never experienced the Charlie boy.
By the dozens.
Gator, you've experienced the Charlie boy? In Sioux City?
Every year we go to South Dakota pheasant hunting.
Okay.
And there always has to be a stop at the Miles Inn, Sioux City, Iowa, for a Charlie boy.
Here's some history, gentlemen. I grew up a block and a half from there on Pollock Hill, my grandfather. We used to go down later in his life, and in my 20s, we'd shoot stick, have a schooner, we'd walk because he needed to get out, and we would have a schooner. I'd have a couple, he'd have a schooner, and then we'd have a couple Charlie boys and walk back up the hill. A block from there was a bar called the Dodge Inn, and the Dodge Inn, I bartended there in the 70s, in the 80s. And if there wasn't a fight, it was a slow night at the Dodge Inn. But, yeah, Miles Inn, that place, I know the owner. He's got one in Okoboji now, too. That place just rocks and rolls. Well, God, you guys really get me moisty-eyed thinking about Pollock Hill and Miles Inn. I don't have that much emotional equity in Des Moines, but, wow, Miles Inn. Where do you go in South Dakota?
We do a triangle. Go to Letcher, go to Mitchell. And then sometimes we'll go down to Dallas.
The great state of South Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
My pops was a professor at the University of South Dakota. Most of my friends went, you know, they're all coyotes. Got a few stragglers that were jackrabbits, but most of them were coyotes.
Yeah, my partner lives in, he's a jackrabbit, obviously. He lives there in Brookings.
Well, what were we talking about? Oh, Venturi a little while ago. That Dave you met? His son was a kicker in Boston area in high school. The one's a sheriff, and he said that Ben Terry would give his son private lessons. That sounds like a Murph move.
Yeah, right.
He's a kicker.
Yeah, right.
So your son was a boxer in football. No track. Work on the speed.
He worked with he had a speed guy. Worked all the way from seventh grade on. Worked on his form and everything, and then with. Basketball. He played basketball, but it was just too hard on his feet and on his ankles. You know, we called it Osgoslaughter. Remember that? We had that name as kids.
Yeah.
He had that, but they don't call it that now. They call it something else. So he couldn't do all that footwork. And, you know, you play basketball, you gotta put the time in. So
now, yeah. I met your bride probably a dozen times. She probably couldn't stand me because I was one of those.
No, that's not true.
Anyway, I didn't know that she had that immense amount of athletic ability.
Yeah, right? No, exactly.
Because those genetics did not come from you.
Right. And that's you know, in football, when being a coach, you know, in eighth grade, seventh grade, and, you know, dad comes and starts screaming at you, and you just got to say, hey, Johnny's a great kid. He's a wonderful kid. He has heart, but he can't help his genetics.
Exactly.
Doesn't help dad, but.
Hey, we're going to take a break here in a minute. Believe it or not, we don't have breaks. But Tampa Bay Downs, which is the horse track here, great place. We're going to have a live report and a race. We do that from time to time here on RadioSt.Pete.com and, of course, Sunshine 96.7 FM on the St. Pete Sports Connection. Actually went out there with my girlfriend opening week, and I had a blast. I remember the days I used to go to Prairie. I'm not a big gambler from that perspective, but I had a blast, and it's a great track, Tampa Bay Downs. And in about 1:16, we will go to a live race and then come back. We'll continue our Iowa reunion. Go Hawks. And if you're a listener, I got a lot of people that stream, believe it or not, still like listening to me. I don't know why. But here's my advice to anyone in Iowa. MOBE. I must have said that 20 times the other day. I had my son do the show with me, and he's a musician, and he played. And my daughter-in-law's here. They live in Ankeny. I'm like, Brianna, MOBE. She
exactly.
got sick and tired of me. You need to MOBE.
Less than a week ago, on my Ford F-150, I looked at the temperature gauge. This was not wind chill. It was minus 19. I didn't know it went into the minus that deep.
Oh, my God. That's just... It's frightening, actually. It's actually frightening. And I worry, you know, I got a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old. I just tell them, if you want the old man to have Hy-Vee deliver groceries, I'll do that. I do not want you out there, my daughter-in-law, or anybody in that weather. You go back from time to time. I go back. I've been here 4 years now. I've probably been back 3 times each year.
Yeah, I go.
And I time it perfectly.
For work, I get back there, but during COVID, I haven't been back since March. I was in Omaha when, you know, two people passed, you know, during the week, and I got on a plane. I haven't been back.
That was St. Patty's Day. I had a new granddaughter, and I wanted to see her. So last May, planned this big trip, rented a car, went by myself, got up there, everything closed down. Oh. I was going to meet some guys at the Waveland.
Right.
I was going to meet people at Drake Diner, my old hangouts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just get caught up. I was in a freaking hotel most of the time. I had an indoor pool for my grandson. They closed that down.
Oh, right.
And actually, I was been pretty flexible from that perspective. But not when I was there. 10 days of... Yeah, I wouldn't do it again. I'd fly them down, but then they had the flight restrictions.
Yeah, right. When I get back, I'll get back. Still talk to a lot of the family and friends up there. And
unfortunately, at our age, sometimes you got to go back for funerals more often than you want.
Yeah, we had a tough year for a lot of our friends, a lot of our boys passed last year. Tough year.
What year did Bubba pass? He was another one of
Michael. Classics. Michael, God, I just saw his dad last year.
Two classics, Bubba and Sheppy.
Yeah, Michael.
Hilarious dudes.
Been a few years for Michael, for sure, or Bubba.
Yeah. They were unique individuals. They left, well, we're talking about them. They left a mark on this planet. They'll be talking about you for generations, Murph.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I told my kids that they said, you're back doing radio. I said, they're going to have to pry. I'm going to be Larry King. I'm going to have to pry the mic out of my carcass as I'm sitting in my walker.
Good afternoon, racing fans, and welcome to the Radio St. Pete coverage of the feature race of the day from Tampa Bay Downs in Oldsmar, Florida. This is horseracingfla.com handicapper Bob Bauer, live at a remote location, watching all the action in real time. It's about 2 minutes before post time for the 40th renewal of the $50,000 Minaret Stakes, a fixture every year here at Tampa Bay Downs. Fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, are going to run 6 furlongs on the good main track for a purse of $50,000. As we have a pretty interesting field here, a lot of different ways you can go. A very intriguing race, even though we only have 6 runners. Number 1, Harrisol. Trainer is Teresa Pompey. Antonio Guiardo has the return call. This 6-year-old mare is very interesting in here. She has a 1-for-1 record right here at Tampa Bay Downs. Her last time here on December 12th was her last race, and that was in a Florida State Bred Stakes, and she was victorious by 3 lengths, and she beat the Goddess Lysa, who is the favorite in here, at 4-5. Now, that was at 7 furlongs. They're only going to run 6 furlongs today, but everybody, I mean the betting public, seems to think number 4, the Goddess Lysa, is going to win this race right out. I think it's going to be a little more complicated than that. And I think number 1, Harrisol, is a big-time player here. Number 2, Bronx Beauty, is another one that you just can't overlook. Her last 2 races have been against graded stakes opposition, and she did run 2nd and just lost by a head in a Grade 3 stakes, the Sugar Swirl, at the 6-furlong distance at Gulfstream Park back on December 12th. And I think Bronx Beauty, with Isaac Castillo, a really hard-riding jockey who has ridden this one to victory before, they fit right in here too. And they're at 2-1. Number 3, Tale of Success, 34-1. Ronald Ordonez rides for trainer Gerald Ochia. Number 4, the big favorite, the Goddess Lysa. Even money on the board, leading trainer Gerald Bennett saddles her, and six-time champion jockey Danny Centeno has the return mount. They were 10-length winners in their last race over the Tampa Bay Downs track. Number 5, Caught Up in You. Jesus the Smoking Gun Castanon rides for trainer Bobby Raymond. And they close out the field with number 6, Poseidon's Passion. 7-1 on the board. Sammy Camacho rides for trainer James Gulick. And Poseidon's Passion at 7-1 has a lot of early speed. And underneath Sammy Camacho, she could be a threat coming right out of the gate. So this is a very interesting race. Favoritism does remain with number 4, the Goddess Lisa.
For the Minaret Stakes was set in 2017 by Spanish Concert in 109.63 is the stakes record. And the track record remains with It's Me Mom in 2012 in a rapid 108.67. Number 4, the Goddess Lisa. The favorite, Daniel Centeno, set to ride for Gerald Bennett. Moving in line.
We're almost ready for a start. Stand by for the call of legendary announcer Richard Grunder, the Dean of American Race Callers, in his 37th year behind the microphone at Tampa Bay Downs. That's quite an impressive record.
And they're off and running to a perfect start. In the 40th renewal of the Minaret, the Goddess Lisa is away cleanly and raked in near to lead. On the outside, Poseidon's Passion comes away second. Aerosol is there along the rail third. Then it's 2 lengths farther back to Bronx Beauty, Tale of Success. And the early trailer is the late running Caught Up in You. To the far turn they go, the Goddess Lisa and Centeno. They're calling the shots up front, and they have the lead by 2. Up on the outside, Poseidon's Passion is second. Aerosol is tucked in, saving ground toward the rail third. Then it's a break of 2. Bronx Beauty is coming under ride. 4th is the midway in the turn. The Goddess Lisa cruising along and still has the lead by 2. Poseidon's Passion. Camacho sets her down for the drive second. Aerosol under an all-out ride 3rd. Bronx Beauty is 4th. But meanwhile up front, the Goddess Lisa racing well out from the inner rail, and she's still the target and has the lead. Aerosol toward the rail. Poseidon's Passion ducks to the inside and runs at the leader inside the final furlong. The Goddess Lisa remains razor sharp. She goes 5-for-7 in her lifetime and will make every pull a winning one, reeled in at the end by 3. Bronx Beauty flies on to be second. Poseidon's Passion finished 3rd in the 40th running of the Minaret.
And the public was right. At 4-5, the Goddess Lisa was just too good for this bunch. At 4-5, she bossed them around, a handy winner. The running time for the 6 furlongs on the good going of the Tampa Bay Downs dirt track, 1:10.02 seconds. But you got to give the Bennett Barn credit. They really had this filly ready to go today. And she's a quality filly, and I think we'll see more of her in stakes races as the season goes on. Owned by Team Equistaff Incorporated, she now has a record of 5 wins out of 7 starts. That's the Goddess Lisa at 4-5. Number 2, Bronx Beauty, checked in second at 2-1. Number 6, Poseidon's Passion, attended the pace, but Goddess Lisa was just too tough for her. Checked in 3rd. The Goddess Lisa, number 4, paid $3.80, $2.40, and $2.20. Number 2, Bronx Beauty, returned $2.80 and $2.40. Number six, Poseidon's Passion, returned $3 even for the show dough. The 50-cent trifecta paid $13.70. The $1 superfecta, 4261, paid $51.90. The 10-cent superfecta box paid $5.19. The $2 daily double, 6 and 4, was good for $9.40. The $1 pick 3, 3, 6, and 4, paid $33.50. The $2 exacta, 4 and 2, was good for $8.80. That concludes the coverage of the 40th running of the $50,000 Minaret Stakes. Stakes action will continue in race 9 today. Post time for that, 4:19 p.m. We'll be on the air at about 4:17 with the pre-race analysis. Then we'll have the live call of legendary announcer Richard Grunder and the post-race wrap-up. All of that right here on Radio St. Pete, the official radio station of Tampa Bay Downs. We now return you to our program in progress.
Welcome back to the St. Pete Sports Connection. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. It's about time to wind down this little visit down memory lane in my great days in Iowa. You see, Barry, they got their Hawkeye gear on, and in behalf of this reunion, the Iowa Sports Connection gets revitalized down here, St. Pete Sports Connection. So I want to thank Murph and Gator for coming down, and his lovely bride, who's a great service, even to an old man like me. And we're going to have a bite to eat. You're going to stick around and have a bite to eat?
We'll stick around.
Bite to eat, yep. and a beer, and I appreciate you guys coming on. Murphy and I will talk a little business here in a minute, but
yep.
I'm going to pass the mic over and the headphones to Barry Smith.
Great.
Kind enough to
thanks for having us.
Take time out of his busy day. Well, his busy day included golf. He probably got rained out. I'll find that out in a minute. But Barry, as I had mentioned in the opener, he played at Florida State. Outstanding wideout at Florida State. And then Barry was drafted by my favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, and then finished his career at the Tampa Bay Bucks, 1976. Make sure that mic's on, my friend.
Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
There we go.
Thanks for coming and joining me, my man.
It's good to be here.
First things first, how was the golf game today, or did you not get out?
Well, here's the problem. We had a 7:55 tee off, and I had my son and a couple of his. All three of those guys were teammates at Georgia Tech. You know, back then, Calvin Johnson, they were part of the team.
Really?
And they're all just excited
as hell. Your boy was a yellow jacket, huh?
Yes, and I'm very proud of that, and he did very well. He was there 05, 6, 7, 8.
Nice-looking young man. You got your wife's genetics.
Well, yeah, from the academic side, yes, the athletic got mine.
There you go. Like that's that. A great combo.
Yes, but unfortunately, the rain, then we had a delay. They pushed our 7:55 tee time to 9:30 to evaluate. Then he got there at 9:30 and said, we're pushing it back to 12 o'clock. And so that time in between, we just decided to have some little games of chipping and putting and went to drive range trying to hit bells and all that. And then we started drinking, you know, because...
Still competitive, aren't you?
Yeah, still, yes, 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 indeed.
It doesn't matter how old we are, the competitiveness never goes away with old jocks.
And never, ever. We want to compete, and that's what makes it great. That's why I love the game of golf.
Well, and I was telling the guys, I'm 64, and I'm not going to mention your age, but Wikipedia will tell you. Anyway...
I just turned 70.
I know,
January
you look
15.
Fabulous, man. You look
I'm
fabulous.
I'm glad to be alive.
Well, and I think here's the recipe, and Ferg and I talked about it, and I talked to a lot of my friends. And I stole this from Clint Eastwood. When he was about 78, and people said, "Guy, you still act young." He said, "You know what? I wake up every morning telling myself I'm not going to act old."
Right.
That's a great,
right.
I think that's simple. We feel old some days, but you got to act young.
Well, I really do believe that, you know, it's age in your heart, your brain. God, I'm trying to think. Country singer because Toby Keith, okay?
I love Toby Keith.
Okay? All right? One of the last movies that Clint Eastwood directed, okay? I think it was called The Mule, okay?
I love that movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it was based on a true story.
It is a true story, okay? Well, Toby he and Clint every now and then play golf or something like that, and it goes back that they're playing, and Toby goes, how do you stay so young? Because we know you're older, but how are you doing this thing? And he goes, I don't let the old man in.
That's what it was. I was inaccurate.
Right. And that's
very
why
good. I don't let the old man in. That's what he said.
And he said, and so he went back that night, Toby Keith, and wrote this song, and then went back to Clint. He says, Clint, and he played it for him, saying, he said, can I? So it's really the last, this is the last song of the movie.
That's a great song.
Yes, it is. Yes,
now I know the rest of the story.
And that is my deal. Don't let the old man in. Stay young.
I've got to just pound that into my brain.
Yes.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Don't let the old man in.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your bio. Of course, you grew up in the great state of Florida.
Absolutely.
And
love it.
You know what's amazing for me? I've been here 4 years, and these guys know what I had that Iowa sports connection in Iowa, covering high school sports for years. And now getting to know Mark and guys like you and diving in, and I want to get more immersed in the high school world. It's amazing the athletes this state produces.
It's an
for decades.
Well, for me, I can tell you that growing up in Miami, back in the day.
I saw one of your posts on the All-State team.
Well, you know what's funny about that? You know, different people post different things.
Sure.
I got to tell you. So there was a thing, it was 67, So it was like this all-city, all-county deal from South Florida. It was my junior in high school. There were a lot of great guys, but when you think about how many guys from there went on to play in the NFL, were all Americans in college, and two of the guys I used to compete against back there in high school, I also ran track besides football. A lot of people don't realize that, but I was a state champion and actually finished eighth in the country my senior year in high school. In the National Junior Olympics.
What distance?
The 120 highs, or the 110-meter highs.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
And, that's impressive. I'm a track guy. I went to college. I run track Western Kentucky. I love track.
I do, too. And running the hurdles was great. But two of my people that I will say ran against, so to speak, were down the same time, was Gerald Tinker and Larry Black.
Gerald Tinker?
And Larry Black. Well, what's the neat thing? One went to Killian, one went to Coral Gables, Now, Larry Black didn't play football. Now, Gerald did and played a little pro and all that stuff. But they're cousins. But they, in 1972, they were on the 4x100 gold medal team in Munich.
I know. I'm a track historian. The Drake Relays are in Des Moines, Iowa every year.
Yes, and awesome.
And I won't miss. I missed last year, obviously.
Yep.
But I won't miss them, and I ran in them 9 years.
That's awesome.
I know those names. Yes. I'm a proponent, I'm sure you are, of track. And I just asked Murph. His son is in the recruiting process right now.
Yep.
And he lived on Lakewood Ranch. I said, did your boy run track? He said, earlier, I made my sons. I didn't really push them to do too many things. Yep. But I said, you're going out for track.
Yes.
Because they're basketball, football. I think kids should participate in track.
I would say, let's say if you want to play football, then this is one of the great sports that you should compete in the off-season track, because it's only going to help build your speed. But depending upon even if you're a lineman, you can be throwing the shot, the discus, and all that. All of those things keep you in shape, and, the eye-hand coordination and the balance and all that. In particular, running the high hurdles was incredible to help my career as a wide receiver, And my son did the same thing. I think that's why he wound up had a chance at Georgia Tech, because he ran track, also ran hurdles like I did.
Yeah. We're talking to Barry Smith here on the St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And finally, a beautiful day here. It's always beautiful in paradise. You live in Gulfport, right?
Yeah, right down the street. I'm 15 minutes away.
I live in Sunset Beach, and I live about 200 yards from the Gulf. And
I'm right on Boca Ciega.
Oh, yes, gorgeous.
I am, yes.
And they're never getting me back to Iowa.
Well, again, I'm born in Miami. I'm never leaving the state of Florida.
Well, you had your taste with the Green Bay Packers of the cold, and I'm certainly that was a little culture shock to you, wasn't it?
Let me tell you, I never saw snow in my life until I was a rookie up there.
At Green Bay.
I mean, I grew up in Miami. I never went anywhere, and my rookie year, it was October 1st, and I remember waking up, looking outside, I'm going, Boy, it looks weird out there because it's a different with the clouds and how things are. You know, it's cold as hell and all that. And I get you know, the locker room and, you know, getting ready. I go, man, what's the deal? And they go, man, it's fixing the snow. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it did. And I was a kid in the candy store. And, of course, the veterans are going, no, you'll get sick and tired of this.
You're
going to
hate this white stuff.
You're going to hate this. Don't forget, see, you know, I was up there. My son and I were up there for the NFC Championship.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too, yeah.
Oh, my God. And
it snowed a little.
Yes, it did. One of the things back then is there was no indoor practice facility. Okay, so when we
no
had
dome.
Practice. No, think about it. You're in December, and you have to go practice, and you're just out in the sleet and the snow, and it was like, yeah, it was sickening. Yeah, you know, and you try to get the quarterbacks to stick around and throw your pass, and they're looking like, get the hell out of here, man. We're
run your routes on Sunday, dude.
Right, exactly. We're going to go find a bar.
There's plenty right around there. Yes, remember sir. Fuzzies? I loved Fuzzies.
Fuzzy Thurston, yes.
Yeah, oh, yeah. God rest his soul. I think his son-in-law still runs
guard.
It.
They had two. See, there was a left guard was Fuzzies.
That was Jerry's, wasn't it?
And the left end, no.
That was Fuzzies.
Right, okay. And the left end was Max McGee's.
There's a dandy.
That's right.
I'm a historian on the Packers because I grew up, you know, yep. My grandfather had me when I read sweep left, and I mean, yep. Probably 20 times. And I was fortunate from what I do that Bob Harlan, who was the president yes. of Green Bay Packers, is from Des Moines,
well.
Iowa.
I did not
and
know
Kevin
that.
Harlan, the, yep. the announcer's father. Yep. And Bob Harlan's mother lived about four blocks from me until I moved down here.
Right.
And he couldn't convince her to ever move. She wanted to stay in the same neighborhood that Bob grew up in.
Old school.
Same home. And yep. Bob upgraded the home unbelievably. They probably could never get it sold in that neighborhood. But so Bob was very kind to me, and I got to go up and meet a lot of the greats, you know.
Nice,
and
yep.
it's, when you're a media guy, you try to act like, it's not that big a deal. It's just my job. Yeah. When I'm meeting the greats, I was fortunate to meet Fuzzy at his bar before he passed.
Yep.
And then his son-in-law runs the joint now. But I met Jerry, yep. met Paul Horning,
yep.
and met Willie Wood, Willie Davis. I mean, that was my
great.
Era, and I was a little kid then.
Yeah. No, that was, and, it was
and,
awesome.
And I think you and I mentioned this, and I tell this to people all the time, regardless if you're a Packer fan, I think you said that, whether you're a Notre Dame fan, I say Wrigley, and I just had a guy from Boston, Ted Williams Foundation, yep. the Green Monster. Those are four venues. If you're a diehard sports fan, regardless if you have any affiliation, you should go see, don't you?
And I agree with you 100%, and I have been to all of those four. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, have you been to the Masters?
No, I have not. That's on my bucket list, and I'm going to do it, okay?
You know
I'm
what we should do? It's probably a little late this year, but they have the par three, and you don't need a badge.
Right. That's what you want to go is the par three.
I've been to that.
That's neat.
And it's a blast. The players let their hair down. They got their families right. there. We're still going to get to see Gary Player and Jack
yep.
and that generation and yep. Tommy Watson. They're going to play.
Yep.
And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah, that would be an awesome thrill. I just, you know, just for whatever reason.
To say you were there.
That. Yeah, I got to do it. But, hey, I'm still young at heart.
That's exactly. We're going.
I'm going.
I've got some good connections up there because I had the golf show for 15 years on the tee.
Okay.
And I know these guys from the Georgia area that did junkets.
Yep.
Well, they would give my friends
yep.
on my show, and they'd go down there. So we'll talk about that later. So who was the – was Bankston the coach when you were
– No, in 73 and 4 was Dan Devine.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Then he came to Notre Dame.
Well, let me tell you, okay, and, you know, my mama told me once, don't speak ill of the dead, okay, so I'm not going to, but I was not a big Dan Devine fan, okay. You know, the fans hated him so bad that they hung his dog, and I'm like, I'm upset because I'm going,
are you serious?
I'm going, why are you hanging his dog? You should have hanged that son of a bitch, you know, to hell with him. You know, and, you know, Bart Starr, who was a very reserved guy, as you know, a classic. Now, who's my coach in 75 out there? Bart Starr. I got to play.
Great.
Now, okay, I got a segue. Okay, here's my story. Since, you know, hey, we got to tell stories here. Okay, and this is a true story.
That's what we're doing.
Okay, so we are, we're playing our first game. Okay, back then we called them exhibition games. They were not preseason games. We called them exhibition games. So we're playing our first game in Lambeau that Bart Starr is going to be the head coach. So the prodigal son returns. So I'm sitting there going, I'm in the tunnel getting ready to take the field. And I'm saying to myself, you know, the chances are Sports Illustrated is going to be here. They're going to take a picture of Bart Starr running out on the field for the very first time as the head coach. So me and several guys, we all kind of thought of the same thing. So we all fought to be on his like his right or left shoulder as we're running out, because we knew that Sports Illustrated is going to put – well, okay, so the Monday following that game, Sports Illustrated comes out, and it's an article about Bart Starr returning, you know, prodigal son coming back to Green Bay.
There's your mug.
And my mug, up there with my number 80, it is there. So I have made the cover of Sports Illustrated for all the world to see.
Do you have it? Do you have a copy of it?
Oh, I sure do. Are you kidding? It's framed. It's up on my, you know,
it's on my wall.
So I made it, but not the normal way, you know, but we made it. So those are some crazy things we did.
Hey, talk about the rich tradition that's up there and living up there during the season.
Yeah.
It's like a college town, isn't it? Everybody just reaches, I mean, they're embedded in the community, okay, and the people own the team.
Okay, I will say this, because, you know, I'm born and raised here. You know, I'm a Buck fan. I mean, come on, man, I live here. And I was part of the original team in 76, so I was very excited for them to win. But the best fans in the NFL, bar none, are Green Bay Packer fans, because, one, they're very knowledgeable, and they're also very courteous, okay? You know, like you go to Philadelphia, and they're throwing batteries at you and bottles and everything. They want to kill you. But in Green Bay, they're really good sports fans, so to speak, okay? And even if you beat their ass, they don't want to beat your ass. You know, they just, hey, kind of shake your
hand.
It's
football.
And say,
yeah.
It's football. But no, in the tailgate.
Have a beer afterwards at Fuzzy's.
Yeah, listen, the tailgate and bar none, again,
I've done it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we can say we tailgate down here. They take tailgating to a whole different level.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
And because start the day before.
Right, well, think about it. When you say there's nothing else to do there.
That's reality.
I mean, you know, Green Bay is Green Bay. It's like a little college town, you know, and it is huge. And the fans take pride in owning, if you are lucky enough to have a share of Packer stock. I have one. I have one share that I played in one of the Packer alumni golf tournaments. And the gentleman, I'm trying to remember his name, for years ran this tournament because they raised a lot of money for children's charities up there. And at the end of this one tournament that I played in, he goes, "You're all lucky today." And we're going, "Why?" You know, and he goes, "Because I'm giving everybody one share of stock."
Really?
And I thought he was just blowing smoke up my, you know what. And then, you know, a couple months later, I get the share.
How cool is that?
I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of it. But again, as excited I was being a Green Bay Packer and all that, I'm probably more thrilled that the Bucs just won the World Championship and our Super Bowl champs, because it's what they did. It was, I mean, I'm not going to say a miracle, but are you kidding me?
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Yes,
you're listening
indeed
to St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioStPete.com and Sunshine 96.7, our sister station. Conversation down memory lane with Barry Smith, and we're talking about his days with the Green Bay Packers. Now let's fast forward to the championship game. You and your son actually went up to Lambeau, and were you wearing anything green? Oh, you wore a stocking cap green, but you probably had Bucks underneath those 14 layers you had on.
You know what? It was, first of all, you have to, because, you know, I think the temperature at kickoff was like, it wasn't too bad. It was like 25
That's
degrees.
Balmy.
Yes, it was, you know, 25, you know, without the wind chill. But it was actually really nice, and at no time was I cold. But, of course, my son and I were very well lubricated. We started
at Flurries, right?
Oh, we were, you know.
Where did you start at?
Listen,
Stadium View?
Yes, we went there. That was one of the stops, you know. But it ended up at Kroll's. But, you know, you did the loop, and we were bar hopping all the way around and also tailgating.
That's fabulous.
And you couldn't tailgate on the Lambeau property, because it's like here, you know, you couldn't, you know, at Raymond James on the property you can't, but all the way outside.
Houses, parking lots.
Even if people didn't have tickets, they were there tailgating. And I had a friend of mine give me a couple of good Cuban cigars, so we're, you know, smoking cigars.
You were set, my friend.
Oh, we were, yes. But my son was decked out in his Buccaneer stuff. I was like kind of a neutral, but he did have a green cap because I figured I couldn't lose either way. But, you know, deep down inside, as much as I'm a Packer fan, you know, I'm a Buck fan. I live here, and this is my life, and I was very proud of the fact that, you know, the Bucks pulled off a miracle. No team has ever done that. You go to Lambeau, think about it, and you're beating
that
the Packers
case
in their backyard against Aaron Rodgers up there in that weather, and, you know, we shut them down, baby.
Well,
big.
When did you go to the game when they were down here
and
and the Bucks pummeled the
yes,
Packers?
Yes.
So that made me very, very nervous about this outcome.
Yes.
But again, I took revenge, home field advantage, weather conditions, and I thought the key is this defense needs to step up, and it did.
When Vita Vey came back,
big factor.
Because then I go, we're going to be able to push that pressure right up the middle. And the ends are going to put the – so it was – yeah. I felt, I'd say, pretty confident. I knew the offense was going to score some points, but had to shut down Mahomes, okay? But again, with the pressure that we put on with the front, it was phenomenal.
You know, I was down here, and I think I mentioned to you, my sons are diehard Packer fans, and my son Benny in Denver, over the top. I created that monster, and I'm proud of it. They took him to Lambeau, and he went to camps up there.
Yep.
So he asked me, I'm standing next to Mark, who texted me back and forth.
Yep.
What do you think? I said, well, I'm working at Ferg's. There's a few Packer fans down here. What do you wear? And I said, St. Pete Sports Connection.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going incognito. This is a financial decision and friends decision. But I've been here 4 years, and everything that's going on in the vibrancy and the sporting community, because for years, Tampa was kind of the laughing stock of the NFL, unfortunately.
Yes.
You knew we were part of that start.
Yes, yes.
And I just like to see the energy and the positivity. So I was very happy for all of you, and I thought Mark might have had a little tear in his eye.
You know, if anybody, you know, I've known Mark a long time. If anybody has made a commitment, you know, and one of the true good guys is Mark Ferguson, what he has done here with Mark, and he's done it the right way, and I love him dearly. Of course, he's a Florida State guy, too. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, you guys are on the same bandwagon.
I don't talk football
to him anymore. You know what he tells me?
Yeah.
We're a bat. And Jake, his son, went there. We're a basketball program. Yeah, I know you are now. Leonard Hamilton's got you that direction.
Yeah, I know. Hey, don't forget our women's softball and our soccer team. You know,
they're great athletes.
Hey, yeah. And you know what? At some point, you know, we'll come back from the football
standpoint.
Every
great program does.
Yes, even Alabama had some bad years. But we'll be there. We'll be there.
So you end up at the Bucks, 1976.
Yeah.
Who was the coach then?
Well, John McKay.
John McKay, yeah, USC. I'm a Notre Dame fan. So I remember not Air Parseghan against John McKay, some epic battles.
Epic games, yeah. You know, a lot of people don't realize, and, you know, I mean, for years it bothered me that I was part of a team that went 0-14 because.
But you started a franchise.
Well, you know, to be there at the ground zero, and we had, and there's a number of guys that were part of that team in 76. Unfortunately, a lot of careers ended that year, too, you know, which is, you know, that's the way it is. But you know, you say the band of brothers that were still close together, but we're very excited that, you know, what the franchise has done. But a lot of people don't realize when they go, oh, my God, you go 0-14. Now, here's the thing. Anybody that played football, especially back old school, you remember the days of two-a-days.
Yeah.
Okay, high school and college, you had two
three-a-days in the Midwest.
Well, some, okay, you know, yeah. Some would do it. But,
too hot here.
But, you know, mostly you'd say two-a-days. So you would have 2 weeks of two-a-days in high school, 2 weeks of two-a-days in college, okay? With the Buccaneers in 1976, we went 10 weeks of two-a-days.
McKay, was that brutal?
Yes, and people do not understand that because there were a number of, you know, because we had guys that were, you know, either traded or through the expansion draft came here. We had really some really good players.
Is that how you arrived here?
That is correct. I was in the expansion draft. I told Bart Starr that I want to come home. I want to come to Florida. And I go, why wouldn't I want to come to Tampa? And I mean, come on, I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
Didn't realize it was going to be the way it turned out, but hey, it is what it is. But 10 weeks of two-a-days, so by the time the regular season started, we were scrimmaging the Monday before the first league game. And so physically, we had lost, through injuries, a number of starters that were through practice because we were, that unfortunately McKay.
Didn't McKay see
the
that?
Dogs. He came from college, old school. And it was just a different, you know, and it was, you know, I mean, eventually, listen, think about this. We go from 10 weeks to 2 days. They don't even have 2 days anymore.
No.
In the NFL. Okay? And they're limited by how many
Players Association wouldn't
that.
Allow it.
No. In high school or college. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, again, you know, it builds you who you are. I'll just say that. And, you know, I'm proud that I was part of a franchise.
We're talking to Barry Smith, and we're taking a little trip down memory lane. But let's fast forward to now and the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, your involvement there.
I've been involved with the Florida Sports Hall of Fame for quite a few years. And then up until last year, I was president for 5 years, okay? We kind of went through a rebuilding, a rebranding, whatever you want to call it, kind of changed the focus of it to really create more of a, I call it a living Hall of Fame, you know, that we're going to take events and players and all that to the people.
Cool.
Because, listen, in all seriousness, you know, I mean, you know, Canton, if you're, you know, Canton is iconic and Cooperstown is iconic, okay? But it's tough nowadays to have a brick and mortar Hall of
That's
Fame.
That's fine, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I will say that I want to, I'm very excited because we are in the process. We are March the 4th, which is Thursday. We're having ribbon cutting, grand opening of our new Hall of Fame facility in Port St. Lucie.
Really?
And I'm very excited because we have been fortunate to be in Polk County and Davenport for a number of years. I would say, you know, it was time to, you know, we kind of outgrew one another and all that. And fortunately, Rick Hatcher, who played baseball at Florida State, another connection there. Rick Hatcher is one of our
board members. You Seminoles stick together.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you know. And
everybody does, like the Hawkeye
Yes,
fans.
And he runs their sports authority down there. And so he got together when we were looking at, hey, we're going to have to find a new home, and which is not an easy thing. But, you know, Rick said, well, you know, let me see. And he came back at us. And so Port St. Lucie and the county there, city and everybody, they all got together because they have a phenomenal facility. And they figured a way how we can co-op or call it, you know, partner up. And it's going to be just exciting as all get out. So I'm very excited about, again,
more. Barry, is there a website that people can go look at?
Yes. Well, you know, say the acronym, you know, FLA Sports HOF.org.
.org.
We are
gotcha.
A nonprofit. Yeah. So,
gotcha.
Florida Sports Hall of Fame. So FSHOF. Yeah. FSHOF. .org.
Yep. Yeah, I'm involved with the in fact, he was here earlier in the show. Dave McCarthy is the executive director of the
Know him well, very well.
Yeah, well, Dave was
man.
On earlier.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I helped
well,
him
Boggs, Wade Boggs, Johnny
exactly.
Gaiman,
oh, yeah.
a couple great iconic guys
oh, yeah.
in our Hall of Fame.
So I met him last year, and he pulled me into their world, and I'm involved with them. Of course, we got shut down last year with baseball.
Yep.
But he just left here. We'll have to get you guys together on the show. He does a great job.
Yes.
He can tell some stories.
Well, think about Listen, I can tell you about Wade Boggs. I would never say anything over the radio here, but Wade, I took Wade to Cuba, Havana, Cuba.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, back in a number of years, I grew up in Miami, and so after all these years, I said, you know what, I want to go to Cuba. I want to see what it's all about and all that, because my mom and dad, before, you know, Castro took over in 59 and all that, they used to go down there and party and all that. It was the crown.
It was Vegas of the Caribbean.
Yes, it was a crown jewel. When you say the Caribbean, there was nothing else really out there. It was Havana, Cuba, okay? I mean, look at the connection Tampa has, Tropicana and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
Godfather
all
days.
All the cigars. Why is it Cigar City?
Cuban cigars, yeah.
Absolutely, you know, and it was
great
iconic.
History.
So
did Wade enjoy it?
Well, here's how I got him to go down there. I said, okay, I want to take you to Cuba because we actually had connections with you know, their who ran their sports commission up there, so
gotcha.
To speak, you know. And so what we did is we took, I mean, a bunch of bats, balls, gloves, and all that. And Wade was kind enough. We did some little clinics throughout the
Very
Havana
cool.
neighborhood and all that. But one of the things he said, Barry, he said, I want to go marlin fishing. So we had to take him marlin fishing. That was part of the deal.
Wade's
and,
deal.
And we did. Because Wade's, like, speaking of the Red Sox, Ted Williams, the splendid splinter.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he loves
Huge
to hunt
fisherman.
And fish. Yes, he loves to hunt and fish, and he can hit a ball. And there's not many guys who could hit a ball, you know, like Wade Boggs.
And you know, Dave McCarthy has these events, and I've met Wade twice just in the year that I have been involved. He had an event up in Clearwater, and then we had one over the Trop, and he looks like he can still play.
Absolutely.
He looks young, man.
Forever young. And, you know, and I'll say thank you, Wade. Wade has been one of the good guys. I've reached out to him several times to do things, and he's always there to help out the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And, you know, and the bottom line is really, helping the game, but also kids, okay?
That's the bottom line.
We try to do things for, you know, children, kids, caring for kids and all that. And Wade and his wife, Debbie, are wonderful people, and they're just good soul people.
Well, so are you, Barry. If there's anything I can do to help promote, the Florida Hall of Fame, I certainly will.
I'll be reaching out to you.
Yeah, Mark and I'll we'll put some energy behind it. Okay, I don't want to put you on the spot. I only got about 5 minutes. Fondest memory in college and in NFL. Probably tough, but one of them.
Okay, I'll tell you this. My fondest memory in college, seriously, was playing in the 1971 Fiesta Bowl, which was the inaugural Fiesta Bowl, okay?
In Arizona,
and here's why, okay? One of them is back then there was only a few bowl games. Okay, I mean, you actually had to have a good team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, it was like you had to go to a bowl game. Yeah. It was like, okay, as long as we bat 500, we can go to a bowl game.
That's ridiculous.
It's different.
The
Fiesta Bowl was they created that for the WAC conference, okay, Western Athletic Conference, and Arizona State was eating everybody up. Okay, so the bottom line is they actually invited Alabama first, and Alabama Bear Bryant wanted no part of Arizona State because they were like the renegades out there and said, we got nothing to win, so to speak. So we were invited. We went out there and played them to they scored with a few minutes to go in a game that we lost 45-38, but it was a
hell of a game.
There were so many guys from that team that played in the NFL, but we had three guys, all right, Rhett Dawson, me, and Ken Gatos, and Gary Huff was their quarterback. We were the first team in college football to have three receivers in a bowl game on the same team with over 100 yards apiece. And that stayed.
You guys were chucking it up, my friend.
Well, it was something else. Now, from the Green Bay standpoint, boy, that's interesting.
I would tell you,
this will be real quick. Okay, in 1975, Bart Starr's first year. We go down to Dallas, okay? This is 75
now. Tom Landry's still there.
Oh, yeah, Staubach and a whole group like that. We are 0-4, and they are 4-0, okay? And we upset them, I think, 17-15 or something like that.
I probably started crying as a kid watching that.
Oh, I loved it. And so Bart was excited. He gave everybody a game ball. So I love it. I can show everybody. I got the game ball. So, nobody now. I go, I scored 3 touchdowns and help. But, yeah, I didn't do anything.
You've had some great memories, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I certainly appreciate you coming down. We're going to do this
Rick.
More often. And what Anytime. We can do is we can talk about the Hall of Fame quite a bit, too.
We'd love to.
Yeah, we'll progress there. And we're going to go out and hit the sticks one of these days.
Anytime. I
oh,
love
my
it.
Hack, but
hey,
we'll
I'm,
have a lot
I'm
of
retired.
Fun.
I'm retired, man.
All right. Well, for Dave McCarthy with my Iowa sidekicks, Murph and Gator, Barry Smith, Mark Ferguson, Joe Berdow on the controls, I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a great weekend. Be sure to check out Fergs this weekend for all your college basketball games. May God bless you, God bless America, and be sure to have a championship week.